judgment. Even more, I need to tell us, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We're observing the Lord's Supper today until we're going to do this until he returns. That's what he told us. And nobody in here know when the Lord will return. But if Jesus returns, if he returns the day and you are not saved, I need to tell you again, it'll be too late. Because when he returns, he's not coming back to save, but he's coming back for those who are saved in order to receive them unto himself. And so again, I ask you, what are you looking for this morning? Did you come just to gain some respectability? Did you come to critique the sermon as to whether or not the preacher uses the right English or the correct grammar? Did you come this morning just to hear the choir? Now, usually that group can easily be spotted because just as soon as the choir stops singing, it is as if they've been shot with a tranquilizer dart. Are you with me? Because all of a sudden they become drowsy and sleepy. By the time the preacher gets to his introduction or gets somewhere in the body of the sermon, they are fast asleep. And in most cases, they don't wake up until the preacher, if he can hoop, until he start hooping, or until, yes, Lord, the invitation is given. But they sleep through the whole sermon and miss everything and miss the, you know, I tell you the truth. I just go on stay in bed. Ain't nowhere in the world I get up and put my suit on and my clothes on and all that to drive all the way to church to take a nap. You might as well stay at home.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio. At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do. Thank you today for the privilege of viewing your word as the Holy Ghost leads us, as he speaks to our hearts, as he challenges us. Lord, let us hear him in our inner ear, in our spirit man, beneath the skin, God, so that we might deal with these issues and be able to move forward into the blessings that you have prepared for us. We'll be ever so careful to give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I want to call your attention to Galatians chapter 6, and I want to commence at verse 5 and then move backwards, if we will, for a deeper understanding. Galatians chapter 6, verse 5 simply says, for every man shall bear his own burden. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing of his holy word. Listen to this. For every man shall bear his own burden. I want to talk about winning the battle within. Winning the battle within. One of the things that I think is so helpful for us as we look at this scripture, even at verse 5, when it says, for every man shall. It's a certainty. It's a truth. It is a reality that you're going to have to bear your own burden. One of the problems with us not bearing our own burdens and shifting our burdens is the fact that until they are dealt with, they'll never leave us alone. Until we handle them, until we deal with them, until we process them, until we put them in their proper place, order, and structure, we will never have peace underneath our skin. That's why ultimately, whatever is bothering you, you are going to have to deal with it. You can ignore it. You can pretend it's not there. You can kind of skim over it. You can act like, you know, it doesn't affect you. But if it's underneath your skin, it's a battle that's constantly raged. It's a battle that's constantly raised. And the problem is sometimes it comes up at the most inopportune times. And so here, there is a word that Paul gives to the Galatians and to the believers alike. And he begins in verse 1 with saying this, brethren, talking to the household of faith, talking to brothers and sisters in the Lord. Listen, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and by man it means mankind, if a believer, if a person be overtaken in a fault. Now you do know what a fault is, don't you? All right, a fault is a shortcoming, a mistake, a situation, or a mishap, something that is not right. Listen at this. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thy also be tempted. Now, it's talking to the believers. It's talking to everybody who belongs to the household of faith. It's saying to us that nobody is perfect. Shocking news. I know some of us think we're perfect. I know some of us act like we're perfect. Some of us act like we have no faults, act like we have no hang-ups, act like we have no issues, act like we've never made no mistakes, act like we've never made no bad decisions. Act like the flesh ain't never had a problem with us or us with it. But the truth is that everybody got faults. Some may be bigger than others. Some may be more exposed than others. But all of us, I know it's a shock to your system this morning, but we've got faults. Listen again at what this word says. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now, ye which are spiritual does not suggest that you are without fault. Let's get that clear right there. Ye which are spiritual. What it simply says and means is you which are a little more mature. You which happen to be a step or two further. You which are already on your way and have bypassed where a brother or sister has fallen. It simply means that you're in a place, listen at this, to help somebody else. And I don't care who you are, my brothers and sisters, God has divinely put you in a position, don't care where you are in your maturity level, to reach back and help somebody else. There's always somebody who's in a little worse situation than you. There's always somebody who's not yet as mature as you. And while you may not be all you ought to be, there's somebody who's not even at your level. So ye which are spiritual, by the grace of God, been given this maturity, been given this level of maturity, been given this ability to see where God has brought you from. Listen to what it says. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Which means, listen, your responsibility always is as you're going forward, every now and then to just check behind you. Yes, and make sure a brother or sister who's walking behind you has not fallen. And if they've fallen, you are too. Listen, reach down, pick them back. Restore means to put them back in the position where they're able to continue on. Restore such a one. What you mean, restore such a one? It means literally, don't you keep walking and watching them fall. You go back, pick them up, make sure they're able to walk, and then restore them back to the path that they were on. Listen, a whole lot of us would be a lot further along if a brother or sister who saw us fall would have loved us enough to pick us back up and not let us wallow and stay there in that place that we were in so long. But to pick us back up and to make sure you're all right. Yeah, I'm all right. Your leg ain't broke? No, my leg ain't broke. You straight? I'm straight. Let me see you walk a few steps. All right, you good. And then you go on and you have the peace and assurance of knowing that they can go on. It doesn't mean you're better. It simply means that you've been given the grace to be in a place to help pull them up. Now you restore such a one. But listen to how it says do this in a spirit of meekness. Don't get prideful. Don't get holier than thou. Don't act like you ought to be glad I picked you up with attitude. But with gratitude, say, I thank God I was close enough to catch you to keep you from totally being destroyed. I was able to help you. Thank God that I was in the neighborhood. I was in the area when you made your fall. And so with a spirit of meekness, because the word is clear about this, look at what it says. I love this. It says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, what I love about the Lord in this word that Paul gives to the church of Galatia and also to the Christian believers everywhere is this. Let's not act like it's really all about them. Because the truth of the matter is when we see them in their fallen state, it ain't been very long that the Lord picked us up from some mess, brought us out of some stuff, straightened us up when we weren't right. And so it ain't been that long ago that we have forgotten where God has brought us from and done in us. And so when we consider ourselves, listen, that he has done for us what we're doing for somebody else, the truth of the matter is he still ain't through with us yet. And here's what I have to remember. That I still, though I've just helped this brother up, am wrestling with some faults of my own. Considering myself, look at what the word says, lest thou also be tempted. Now, I may not be tempted with drugs or alcohol or some other vice that this brother or sister may have been in and caused them to fall, but here's the truth of the matter. I still have my weakness. And it may be in a totally different area that they are unbeknownst of, as the old folks say. They may have no clue about what I'm dealing with, but I know. And because I know I ain't all that yet, I ought not pretend like I've helped you because I've arrived, but I'm helping you so I can get on to where I'm trying to get to. And so he says, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. And that's why it behooves all of us not to act like any of us are at that place where God wants us to be. Look at what verse 2 says. It says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now that's a responsibility in the form of a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not saying, I hope you help somebody else. It says, bear. It's a command. One another's burdens. Now listen to this. God wants you to understand that no matter what a brother or sister is going through, if you apply your strength to their strength, it will be an effort that will become fruitful because you will grant the added strength that they did not have in order to stand. And so sometimes what you need is just a little push. What you need is sometimes, have you ever been walking and you missed the step and you were about to fall and somebody just grabbed your shoulder and pushed you back up? Now, they didn't need to hold you and just grip you and bear hug you there for 20 minutes. They just needed to be right there to catch you when your foot slipped, to push you back straight up so you could get your footing again. And that's literally what it means, just to be there to help them get their footing back. It literally doesn't mean that you take off of them their burden and bear it and they go free. You see, a lot of folk got that twisted. No, that's not what God intended, for me to carry your burdens, but rather to help you reshift your load so you can bear your own burden and put you in a position where it is tolerable. See, look at this word again. It says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Must Jesus bear this cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Jesus did on the cross what you couldn't do for yourself, the impossible. But there is a cross that he says take up daily that you can do for yourself. That's called the possible. And so when we recognize this, it literally means to bear the portion of the burden that your brother or your sister can't bear. And when you bear that part, they'll be able to handle the rest of it. And many times, it's just a reshifting of the load, and they're able to go about their journey. Look again at verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, literally what this verse is saying is, when a person thinks that they made it and they haven't, they are in for a shocking surprise. When a person thinks that they have matured to the point that the enemy can't get to them, that they will never be weak again, that they'll never fall, that they'll never have issues again, they have just fooled themselves, because they in and of themselves cannot do, be, or become what they need to be by themselves. It is by the grace of God. It is by the power and the support of the Spirit of God that helps you to overcome every challenge, every issue, every situation, everything that presents itself before you, and that you will overcome. It is not you by yourself. Sometimes we walk a long time without slipping, without falling, till we act like we don't even have to worry about our footsteps no more. But I got news for you. Don't ever think you don't need that lamp unto your feet and that light unto your path. You can know how to walk good, but if you can't see potholes, Lord, I wish I had somebody. If you can't see stuff that'll cause you to stumble, you'll come tumbling down with your ability to walk right. Listen at this word again, because I want you to see it. Verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. See, let every man prove his own work. Means that you've got to come to that point and place where you have learned not only to stand by yourself, but to be able to bear your responsibilities by yourself, not always looking for someone else to hold you up, to pick up your slack, to catch your shortfalls, to do for you what you have miscalculated to do. You can't always expect somebody to be there for you. When you get it together, you start preparing yourself and you start getting yourself in a position where you're not looking always for somebody to help you with a handout. But rather now that you'll be in a position to help somebody with a helping hand. It literally means that you prove your own works, that you come to the place where you are mature enough, where you consider all things necessary, your lot, your responsibility, your rewards, and you operate within the confines of it. In other words, you start budgeting life so much so that you can live within the confines of your own budget. See, a lot of folk don't even know what a budget is, let's don't have a budget. They just big bowling, shot calling, all out of control. It's all right to, you know, not have a budget if you got unlimited means. But it's a major problem when you big balling and ain't got no ball. When you gotta rob Peter to pay Paul and you're thinking about stealing from Steve. You got issues. You become a major juggler when you try to get this info, this due date, and take that from that, and hoping you can get enough from another folk to get it to me. No, you got to come to the place where you bring your life into subjection. And then when you see the sign say sale, you say, well, it'll be there tomorrow. After I paid my bills, took care of my responsibility, and so forth, if it's still there and I got some extra, and I budget it, and it works inside my, can I tell you, it ain't really no sale if it don't work in your budget. Y'all getting quiet on me. I'm trying to help you do things different this year than you did last year. And oh, by the way, won't you budget some savings in your budget? So that when rainy days do come, when short days do come, when sick days do come, you can reach back in your own bank and not be at the mercy of others who may not have when you have a need. So listen at this. It literally says, again, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself. What?
Alone.
You need to get to the point where you can shout by yourself. Because every now and then, if folk don't want to shout with you, you ain't got to wait till they feel like shouting when you're shouting about your own works. Rejoice with me. I don't feel like rejoicing. That's all right, brother. God bless you. Glory! And you rejoice with yourself, in yourself, alone because of what you have accomplished by the grace of God. Now look again at what verse 5 says. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now one of the toughest battles you will ever deal with, fight with, continually face in life is underneath your skin. The 7th chapter of Romans revealed that when Paul talks about this issue underneath the skin and doing the things he don't want to do and the things that he should do, he don't, and the things he shouldn't, he does. And he talks about this inner conflict, this war in his members, the battle within. And my brothers and sisters, again, don't make no mistake about it. All of us on all levels have to deal with inner conflict. It may be in one area or another area, but we've got to deal with it. Listen to this. And if you deal with it in the spirit realm, you'll be able to have success in the natural realm. If you process that in the spirit underneath the skin, deal with it where the real battle is won and fought, then in the natural realm, you'll have the end product, which is success. But listen again, because I want you to see, when you deal with these issues, what are they dealing with? Is it your self-incrimination from an overactive conscience of sin or situations or circumstances? Have you been in a situation where you can't forgive yourself? See, the devil wears us out with us not forgiving. God has forgiven us when we've asked him. We've asked others to forgive, and they forgive us. But sometimes we have an overactive consciousness that the devil uses to bring grief and trouble and strife in our lives because we can't let it go. We can't let it go. We can't seem to release it and move beyond it. And so as a result of that, the enemy deals with us and tears us apart, brings us into a place of oppressiveness and depressiveness, because we don't know how to let it go. Is it your fear of rejection? A lot of folk won't get what God has for them because they're afraid of being rejected. Fear of rejection, don't you fool yourself, my brothers and sisters, is a powerful tool that the enemy uses. He makes you lose before you ever start by making you think you're going to be rejected. When you look back over your life now and you think about the things that you have done, the steps you have taken, the reaching out beyond the comfort zone and taking that leap, and how the door opened, the blessing came, you received what you asked for, do you think it would have happened if you would not have taken that chance, if the fear of rejection would have overwhelmed you that you didn't do it? What if you never went put in the application because you feared they won't hire me? You're qualified, you're intelligent, you've got the credentials, but you just can't take rejection. So you don't even bother. They're probably going to pick somebody else who's even less qualified. I ain't going to even worry about it. Or any area of life where your fear of rejection is so great that it stops you from doing what you know is right to do, then the enemy has won that battle underneath your skin. Well, what about failure? You might not be afraid of rejection, but maybe you're afraid of failure. So if you're afraid of failure, here again are part of the same symptoms. Ain't no sense in me trying it because ain't nobody else ever did. Nobody else has ever won. Nobody else has ever reached that. Well, who am I? And so we are afraid of fear of failure being greater than the fear of attempting that, even if failure comes. You see, what folk miss is the proper focus of failure. What I may have tried may have failed, but because I'm not a failure, I can try again. And if it fails that time, then that's all right, because I'm not a failure, I can try again. So comes the adage, if at first you don't succeed, try, try, try again. And so when you recognize this, I've said this seriously, throwing this out parenthetically, the man who designed the formula for 7-Up tried 6 times to get the formula right and gave up. Sold the formula, the recipe, to a man. He made 1 tweaking of that formula, and the man who had 6 down gave up. He turned it 1 time, made it 7-Up. Y'all catch that on your way home. I'm just trying to tell you that failure, don't be afraid of it. It may come initially, but you can overcome it because you are not a failure. And that's why so many people put their lives on hold and the best that God has for them, because they may have failed in this or failed in that, and they give up attempting to even try again for fear of failure again. And maybe it's not that. Maybe it's your future you're afraid of. And so people are afraid of what the future holds. They've been telling us year after year, they've had this year, that year, that the world is going to end. What if folk would have given up? They said in 2000 that the year, that would be the year the earth would, you know, be done away with, man would die, and so forth. What if at 1999, December 31st, that somebody would have said, you know what, I'm going to just end it all because I can't wait till the next year come. The world is going to be destroyed anyway. I might as well go ahead of it. And they would have killed themselves in 1999. And here, we're in 2010. Well, now they're saying that 2012. Well, I got news for you. I wouldn't believe that, even though that's a couple years off. Here's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to know something that Jesus don't know. Jesus said he don't even know when it's off. Only the Father knows that. So how are you going to say something Jesus don't know? But if he doesn't know, if you don't know the day nor the hour, then why are you putting a date to it? And so here's what you don't know. The end of the world can come tomorrow. And it would catch you undone because you're thinking you got at least to 2012. catch you undone, catch you off guard, because you're setting your mind on a time when the word is clear that